Hebrews 12 verse 1. Let us also therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider well him who endured so great contradiction from sinners against himself, that ye be not weary, fainting in your minds. I wanted to especially speak about verse 2, but I'll come on to that a bit later. The previous chapter, chapter 11, which we haven't got time to read tonight, is often called the faith chapter. It speaks to us about what faith is. And putting it simply, faith is just believing what God says. Faith is the substantiating of things hoped for. In other words, believing what we can't see. Faith is simply believing God and taking God at his word. Either God's word is true or it's not. The scriptures, the Bible, are God's eternal words. The eternal word that stands forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. So what you have in your hands is more permanent than the heaven and the earth. Isn't that absolutely amazing? That's the power of God's words. So when a preacher stands up to preach the words, he feels very weak, because the power is all in God's word. The power is all in God's. It's very interesting to look through this Hebrews chapter 11, because it's a whole list of what we perhaps might call the Hall of Fame, or the heroes of the faith. Christians in times past who believed God and mighty things were done. And obviously we haven't got time to go through it in depth, but basically it covers the whole Bible. It goes back to Abraham. Abraham is mentioned first in Genesis chapter 12. Only 12 chapters into the Bible, and Abraham is mentioned. He's not the first person to have faith. The first person to have faith was probably Abel, or mentioned anyway. But Abraham is a very important man in the Bible, and he is mentioned in Genesis 12. But he gets mentioned in Hebrews 11, because he was told by God that God would make his family a great nation. And that's happening today. That's been happening throughout the centuries. Abraham lived round about 6,000 years ago, something like that, very roughly. But many thousands of years ago, several thousand years before Jesus. And yet Abraham is mentioned here because he's one of the Old Testament Christians who believed God. And because he believed God, God gave him righteousness. It was accounted to him as righteousness. He believed God, and God was pleased with that. Belief, is that what? That's what faith is. It's belief in God. Putting our faith and trust, putting our trust in what God says is true. Abraham called and was called to go out and leave his family and follow God. He was called to leave everything behind. In a sense, when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we leave our old life behind. We leave everything of our old life behind, and we put our complete faith and trust in Jesus. And then it mentions Moses. Think of the amazing things that Moses did. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt. An incredible story through the book of Exodus. Another great example of faith in the Old Testament. But these people are put their trust and faith in the same God who we have today. It's not a different God. It's the same God. How wonderful is that? Our Christianity is thousands and thousands of years old. And it's been proved time after time after time. Because it works. There are many fake versions of Christianity. Many fake religions. Many false religions that lead you down the wrong path. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ and all his glory and majesty that is the answer, the saviour of the world. There is no other saviour. In Isaiah it says, there is no other saviour apart from me. There is no God who can save apart from the true God. Moses it mentions, and there's a long story about that, but think of the amazing thing that Moses did. He made Pharaoh let go of all of the children of Israel, the slaves. He led them out of Egypt. He led them across the Red Sea. What an incredible story of complete faith and trust in God. He didn't do it with his own strength. He was afraid. He was afraid to go and speak to Pharaoh. And you would have been afraid to speak to Pharaoh. Anyone would have been. And yet Moses did it through faith in God. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. Joshua. Another book in the Old Testament. Joshua was a man who trusted God. What a great hero of the faith he is. Rahab. Rahab the harlot. She gets mentioned as well. Not just men but women as well. Some great examples of women in the Old Testament and New who put their complete faith and trust in God. And it says, all these, having obtained witness through faith, did not receive the promise, God having foreseen some better thing for us. So in other words, they died and their life ended. They died, but they were waiting for the eternal promise. So they're waiting for the time when God will raise them out of their graves. They're waiting for that time. They didn't waste their life in trusting in God. They lived their life rightly. They trusted Jesus. They trusted God for everything. And they obeyed God and they died, but they're waiting in the grave for when they will be raised, just like every other Christian, every true Christian. But Hebrews 12 says, because we've got a cloud of witnesses, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily tangles us. I've heard it described like a stadium. Imagine a great big stadium. You've got however many thousands of people sitting round in seats at the stadium, maybe a bit like at the Olympics or any other big, big event. These are those that have died in faith in the times past. But they're looking at us who are alive now. Christians who are alive now. And it says we are to run the race with endurance, looking on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. If we've become a Christian, we have already had our eye on Jesus as the leader and completer of faith. And that is what the gospel is about. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only Christianity completely rests on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done. There is no Christianity without the Lord Jesus and without his death and burial and resurrection. That's the wonder of this. So we are to look steadfastly at Jesus. How do we look at Jesus? We look at Jesus by reading his words. By reading the Gospels about what he did on this earth. By reading the rest of the Bible. The whole Bible speaks about Jesus in some different way. The Old Testament looks on to him. The Matthew, Mark, Luke and John tell us about his actual life. And then the rest of the Bible tell us about the followers of Jesus and all that they did after Jesus left the earth. But we look on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. So it says, run with endurance the race that lies before us. If we are a marathon runner or a long distance runner or a long distance cycle race or anything like that, you always keep your eye on the end goal, or you'll keep your eye on the leader, don't you? It's the leader that you want to catch up with, the leader that you want to be with, because he is the head of the race, isn't he? Jesus is the only leader who will not let you down. How wonderful is that? Jesus has a kingdom which is not of this world. There are many leaders in this world today. People put a lot of trust in them. Some of them do their best, but think of every single human leader will let you down. But this is the key point about the preaching tonight. The leader and completer of faith. He has completed the work which God gave him to do. We cannot complete anything to God's satisfaction. We can't do anything to please God ourselves. We had that this afternoon in Galatians. There is no good work that we can do that will get us into heaven. Because of the sins that we've done, because of the sinful history that we have, every single one of us, we cannot rub out the sins that we've done in the past. We can try and do good things now, but it's never good enough. Jesus is the completer of faith. Why is he the completer of faith? Because he led a perfect, holy life. We spoke about that this afternoon. A perfect, spotless life. But most importantly, because he died on the cross. Think of what it says here. It says, in view of the joy lying before him. He had a joy before him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he endured the cross. The awfulness of the cross. The awfulness of the suffering of being nailed hands and feet to the cross and being hung up to die. And to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He took the punishment rightfully due to us. Every single sin needs to be punished. Because God is a holy and perfect and righteous God. He cannot ignore sin, otherwise he wouldn't be perfect. But Jesus endured the cross. You know what it's like to endure something. You might have to go through a time of pain. Enduring going to the dentist. Or enduring putting up with bad toothache until it gets pulled out like I had recently. You have to go through it, don't you? I don't know much experience of that. Jesus endured the greatest suffering and pain that we can never know the greatness and depth of the suffering that Jesus went through in order for us to be saved, dear friends. In order for us to be redeemed. In order for us to not have to bear the punishment of our own sins. He despised the shame. And what is the evidence that he has been victorious? The evidence is that he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus is now. How wonderful that is. That is the greatest news, dear friends, that you could ever hear. He is available as a saviour to you tonight. If we repent of our sins, that means recognise our sins have offended a holy and righteous God. Recognise our sins have separated us and made us at a great distance from God. And put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. Because he has done a perfect work. We often like to try and have a project or do a piece of work or try to do a job of any kind. And something or other, somehow or other, something tends to come in to try and spoil it, doesn't it? You maybe do a piece of work in some kind and there's always something slightly that goes wrong. Even if you're a perfectionist, there's always something that goes slightly wrong. That's the world we live in, isn't it? That's the imperfect world that we live in. And yet Jesus has fully and perfectly completed the work of salvation, the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. And the proof of it is that he has been raised from among the dead. That is the most powerful message that can be heard across this earth. Every religion of the world will tell you to do your best. We put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done, which is God's best. God's best is far, far greater than ours. And we put our faith and trust by receiving this free forgiveness, this salvation, this free forgiveness of our sins and putting our faith and trust in Jesus. Because he endured so great contradiction of sinners against himself, ye have not yet resisted unto blood wrestling against sin. And it says, be not weary, fainting in your minds. Sometimes the Christian life can feel like hard going. We might feel weary sometimes. We might feel like loads of things are against us. We might feel like there's loads of things that people are against us too. Contradiction from sinners, that means aggravation or opposition, people against you. Many Christians today have to suffer very, very greatly. Many Christians are being persecuted, even to death. But they have a hope beyond death. And Jesus said, it's a very, very powerful thing, fear not them that kill the body, but fear him who has authority to cast body and soul into hell. We don't have to be afraid of those that kill the body even. It's our fear of God, our true trust and fear of God, that is the most important thing. The things, that difficulties that we have in this country compared to what other Christians have is so little. What a blessing and a privilege it is to gather together, to have the gospel preached. And the wonderful news of the gospel that has been going out for 2,000 years. How wonderful that is, despite all the difficulties. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God. In the Sunday school this afternoon, we were telling the children that it says in the Bible that there is coming a day when Jesus will come on a white horse, with his surrounded by his saints, and will come to rule over this earth. He'll take his believers to be with him before that. He's coming again. And at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, the disciples saw Jesus going up into heaven on a cloud, and the angels told them that he would come again in the same way, in exactly the same way. What a comfort and a truth that is to know for every true Christian, that Jesus is coming again. And also, I was watching a video that was telling us about how many signs there are, how many evidences there are, pointing to the end times. We are near the end of the very end times. So many things are happening in the world today that if you have eyes to see them, give you an evidence of what is happening in the and how close the coming of the Lord Jesus is. Very, very close. How urgent that makes the gospel. Jesus will not come for everyone on this earth. He will come for those who have put their faith and trust in him. Those who have put their faith and trust in him as the leader and completer of faith. What a wonderful opportunity there is tonight for you to come. So like this hymn writer, can you say, whatever happens to me, it is well with my soul. That's a question for each one of us tonight. Can we say, it is well with my soul, for his name's sake.
Amen.